You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 23 November. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Chantal Marx, results are pouring, and I want to touch on that Barlow World special dividend and Netcare. Omnia CEO talking their very strong results, but how much is it business and how much is it just that agri and mining is absolutely booming? And then Jane Shoemake, we spoke to her, I suppose, 3 or 4 months ago. She does a quarterly update on global dividends, and they are, according to their research, set to return to pre-pandemic levels. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. A group claims crisis at EOH was manufactured. Calls for the CEO, Stephen von Collier, to step down. This is a weird situation. Perhaps the weirdest part is that this group of apparent former shareholders and staff is anonymous, so we actually have no idea who they are. Business Day, Joe Biden nominates Jerome Powell for second term as Fed chair, so he will get another 4 years. It seems he will get through Senate and the House, no problem. Morning markets, US was red, S&P off a third, NASDAQ off 1.2%. In Asia, Sydney's green, up 0.7%. Tokyo closed for Labor Thanksgiving Day. Commodities, mostly red overnight. Gold, 1,812. Brent, 79.48. Palladium, below 2,000 at $1,982 an ounce. The Rand, 15.86. Top 40 opening call, looking for about 150 points down. That's a fifth of a percent. No 10 cent, because Hong Kong also having a holiday this morning.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marx, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investment. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. The Barlow World results yesterday, what I think the market perhaps loved more than anything else, and what was not a bad set of results, was that special dividend. Thanks for playing. But a really strong rebound for the year ending September.
Yes, it was a very strong rebound. And I mean, if you look at those continuing operations, or for now continuing operations, because Barlow World has been a bit shifty in terms of what's continuing and what's not continuing, it looks really strong. And it seems as if that core business, which is mostly the equipment business, did exceptionally well. And of course, they also benefited from two acquisitions during the period. I think in what was a very fortuitous time in the cycle. So benefiting from high coal demand coming through in Mongolia, so their yellow equipment in big demand there, and then also the maize pricing cycle working in their favor in the business that they did not want to buy but were forced to buy from Tongaat, that starch business.
I'd forgotten all about that until the results. I remember they're like, we don't want it, and Tongaat was, no, you promised, and they ended up buying it. They're getting, and we kind of see it with Omnia as well, and don't get me wrong, I'm loving it, but, I mean, they are currently in the purple spot because the sectors to which they operate, mining, agricultural, coal in Mongolia and the like, are just booming.
Yeah, and this is why you need to be careful when you're looking at stocks like Barlow World and Omnia. You need to be very aware of the fact that they are inherently cyclical.
Yeah.
So when things are going well, they go really well. Return on capital improves. Everything just looks fantastic. The outlook statements are great. Barlow World, I think, also benefits from the fact that it's what we call a late cycle play. So its equipment business does very well late in the cycle because demand invariably continues to go up very quickly. For example, in mining, you will actually start seeing exploration coming through at some point, which will increase demand for that equipment. The construction sector starts doing well, which will increase demand for that equipment. But late cycle, emphasis on the late. So tread very carefully at the moment because things look very rosy, but they could turn very quickly.
Yeah, as commodity prices go against you, suddenly things not so great. Netcare results out. We had Life Healthcare last week. Adjusted HEPS, doubling to 67 cents. Dividend is back. They're doing great where they can. The pandemic and the lack of elective surgery, however, is still hurting. And, considering we've probably got a fourth and who knows how many more waves, this is going to hang over them for a bit.
Yeah, goodness, it's just depressing looking at the active case numbers for COVID-19 at the moment, particularly in the Gauteng area. And my mind also went to the hospital groups because you have had a case where their prospects have been steadily improving as the risk almost started fading, vaccines started rolling out and all the rest of it. But it seems as if in South Africa, our pace of vaccination is very slow. And these guys are very heavily impacted by this. They have to make space in their emergency rooms. They have to make space in wards for COVID-19 patients. And they aren't able to do elective surgeries, which actually are quite vital if you think about it. It sounds like an elective surgery is just something that you choose, like, you want a smaller nose. But elective surgeries include things like hip replacements and very important knee surgery, for example. So, but anyway, from a bottom line perspective, it has a very negative impact on margins. I do think, however, that these hospital groups have become much better at navigating this. You will see a marked improvement over the third wave, for example, which was a very severe wave relative to the first and second. So here's to hoping that the fourth wave has an even lesser impact and we can continue to see a recovery in the sector.
I take your point on that. 20 months in, they're becoming pros on pandemics, which is, I suppose, some good news for those shareholders who you would think a pandemic's good for hospital groups. We learn something every pandemic. Chantal Marks, Head Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Seelan Gobel, Sammy, Omnia CEO. Seelan, appreciate the early morning results for 6 months ending September. Revenue up to just shy of 10 billion. Headline earnings, 286 cents. That's compared to 125 the previous period. And cash at net cash, 719 million. That's from a 1.9 billion net debt previously. Seelan, obviously, the sectors you operate in, mining, agriculture, having a great time during it. Are you able to kind of sort of stitch it apart and say, yes, we are benefiting from that, but we're also picking up customers. Those customers are ordering more and we are pushing margins. In other words, it's sort of giving the improvements that you can manage within the group.
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all your listeners. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. We've actually very, very excited and pleased with the result that we've produced. What we are able to demonstrate is not only have we had the tailwind of a commodity uplift in both agriculture and mining, but what we've seen is real volume growth, additional customers added to our mining business and additional customers added to our agriculture business in South Africa, SADC, and across the world. So, yes, the revenue growth is up, but I think what's more fundamental is that the business itself is growing. The volumes, the customer base has increased. A great result for us.
Yes, I agreed on that. A great result. You mentioned across the world. Omnia is a South African company, but you're operating globally. How much of your operations profits are beyond the borders of South Africa these days?
Yeah, maybe let's just tell your listeners what we do across the world and where we do it. Mm. So we do agriculture and mining explosives all across the continent. Large businesses in Zambia. But outside of the African continent, we've got a substantial operation in Australia where we use a humic acid. It's a stimulant. It's used in the, to enhance the efficacy of fertilizer. And those products we take into the Indian market via joint venture. We take into South America, Brazil. We take that into the EU. And we bring it into a number of North African countries and East African countries. That's our agriculture business. Our explosives business, we've got an operation in Canada. We've got an operation in Indonesia, Australia, and in the U.S. So, you know, we're in 25 countries across the world. We're expanding in Indonesia and Canada and Australia. But I guess our home will always be Africa and South Africa and our largest operations and people, probably two-thirds of our people are in on the African continent.
Watching your results presentation yesterday, because one of the issues I was thinking ahead of the results, I'm thinking, yeah, supply chains and particularly ammonium nitrate, which is both for the explosives and for the fertilizer. And you made the comment, you source it locally, but you're also able to import. That means you can sort of run that balance and you've got your own wagons for the rail lines and the like. But how are you finding the ports? How are you finding the Transnet? I was in Durban over the weekend and I've never seen so many boats sitting outside Durban waiting to enter the port.
Yeah, I think, you know, supply chains globally have been disrupted significantly. You know, whether it's the Suez Canal, whether it's the ports, border crossings, you know, we've got we've seen blockages, stoppages, disruptions across supply chain, and that's driven demand. You know, I think customers firstly have now stocked up. You know, we've been taught quite a bit about just in time and you know, keep your stock levels as low as possible, but customers are actually buying up, which is putting more pressure on supply chains. In terms of infrastructure and ports, Simon, goodness, we've got a lot of work to do. You know, as South Africa and the African continent, we really need to connect all of our operations, all of our cities. We need to allow goods and services to flow across South Africa and the continent. So the ports have had significant disruptions. Rail has had significant disruptions. I think we all need to work together, you know, to enhance the infrastructure. And it's not just the ports, you know, it's electricity, it's water supply, it's other infrastructure that is so, so important. It's the backbone for GDP growth. It's the backbone for employment. It's the backbone for future generations to come. You know, we've got to give our future generations a prize, a gift, you know, not leave them with ailing infrastructure and utilities that don't work well.
A quick last question. Your net cash, just over $700 million. You've got the sale of an asset, which will another billion. And, of course, you're generating more cash. So easily in the next 6 months, you're going to be sitting in excess of $2 billion. You make the point that you're undecided. The board, you know, is it share buybacks? Is it special dividends or perhaps even acquisitions?
Yeah, so what we will do is, you know, we're sticking very disciplinedly to our capital allocation framework. We've told our shareholders what we will do with cash and excess cash. So initially, we will make sure we've got enough cash, firstly, to run a very strong balance sheet. You know, we never want us to go into the dark days of the past that we've seen a few years ago. Secondly, we'll keep some cash aside for inorganic and organic expansions, and we've touched on some of those across the world. And then finally, we will, as we did at year-end, you know, consider ordinary and a special dividend and a share buyback. At year-end, we paid $1 billion back to shareholders, 2 rand ordinary and 4 rand special.
Yeah.
And we will consider the same again at year-end. The board will stick to our capital allocation framework, and we will be very disciplined about that, not to keep too much cash on the balance sheet, but we will maintain a strong balance sheet.
Yep. And that billion you paid was half of the rights issue from a couple of years earlier. We'll leave that there. Seelan Gobalsamy, Omnia CEO, appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Jane Shoemake, a client portfolio manager on global equity income at Janus Henderson. Jane, appreciate the time again. We chatted, I suppose, a quarter ago around your then quarterly dividend update, looking at global dividends. You've now got the third quarter update. And the short version is that globally dividends are absolutely rocking, and you're expecting them back at pre-COVID levels by the end of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're now forecasting $1.46 trillion, which is an upgrade to our forecast from 3 months ago. And that's going to be 2% above the pre-pandemic peak that we saw in the first quarter of 2020. So really encouraging.
Yeah, and astounding, I got to say. Middle of last year, I wouldn't have expected that. I mean, it's boosted in part by, I mean, profits are coming back, but we're also seeing it, and I see it looking at individual companies locally and globally. Balance sheets are a lot stronger, and some companies have come out of the pandemic well, and profits are back, and they are rewarding shareholders.
Yeah, a number of companies during this period have taken the time to, you know, get some reissue debt at very low interest rates. Mm-hmm. We saw some equity issuance as well out of a number of companies. So they took the opportunity to raise capital. But I think, you know, earnings have been incredibly strong. We've just been through a really good earnings season in the US. Over 80% of companies in the US beat. Revenues were up about 18% on average, earnings up around 40%. So I think the unprecedented stimulus we've seen from both monetary policy and from fiscal stimulus combined, you know, have combined together to make a very positive environment for corporates.
Yeah, it's a great point. There has been, as you say, unprecedented. I mean, we saw stimulus in 2008, but not on this level. Globally, 2021 has been about mining. We see that down here in South Africa. Of course, we are a mining economy. But globally, it's been the miners who've really led the charge. And BHP is expected to be the biggest dividend payer in 2021.
Absolutely. We've seen some extraordinary strong profits from these companies over the last few months. And that's no surprise given the incredibly buoyant commodity price cycle and environment that we've seen. And clearly, you know, I think three quarters of the miners in our dividend index actually more than doubled their dividends compared to this time last year. So really an incredibly strong picture from them. And what they've done is they've given us regular dividends. They've given us some special dividends as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unlikely we're going to see that completely repeated next year. Clearly, some of the commodities, iron ore, for example, have already come off a little bit. And so I think there'll be a slight more headwinds to that picture for the commodity companies going into 2022.
Yeah, I mean, certainly headwinds for the commodities. And you know, as you say, the commodities are down, PGMs are down, oil's coming off a bit, as are many others. They'll still be paying next year, perhaps just, you know, not a record year, perhaps a second or a third best year. Still going to be a good, just not a record for the miners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to start trying to, you know, forecast commodity prices. That's a fool's game. Yeah. But clearly it's about, you know, how much demand are we going to get? How much supply is there? And what is going to happen to the global economy? And we've got different parts of the world experiencing different things at the moment. You know, we've got Europe in some parts of Europe going back into lockdown. Mm-hmm. China's battling with some of the Delta variant in places as well. So it's quite a mixed picture still. And I think it's very unlikely we're just going to see those extraordinary results that we've witnessed from those commodity companies over the last 12 months.
You mentioned China, a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, payouts rose, but yet a number of companies, up to a third of them, actually cut dividends, which says that those that were increasing dividends did so significantly, offsetting the cuts.
Yeah, it was quite a mixed picture in China. And I think, again, I think some of that impact of the pandemic has caught up with some of those companies into 2021 in terms of their profitability. And that just meant that they've had a more challenging time. And they've not had the profits there, and therefore they've not had the dividends there. But as you said, overall, still China was up 16% in dividends during the third quarter. So still an overall positive picture.
I mean, we chatted last time as well. We spoke about banks, and they've really come to the party in terms of those dividend payments, and that should continue into 2021. That's partly regulatory. I know some bank authorities around the world last year said, be careful, if not scrap dividends altogether. And banks generally are looking better.
Yeah, so those regulatory restrictions that we saw put in place in some parts of the world have now generally been broadly lifted. The capital positions look strong for these banks. I mean, really, post the global financial crisis, these banks were in a real mess. The situation they found themselves going into the pandemic was very different. Their capital positions were a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. And although they were sometimes forced to stop paying dividends because of the regulatory restrictions, they've come out of that period now with decent capital positions, and that's allowed them to start paying back their dividends and also, in a number of cases, announcing share buybacks, which, given that some banking stocks are very cheap, makes sense to me. Our banks over the quarter, dividends were up about 33%. And I think, you know, we're going to continue to see them return to the dividend list, albeit at below pre-pandemic levels. They are not going to go back to making the level of payments they did prior to the pandemic, just while we still navigate our way through, you know, the next year or 2 years as to see what happens to the global economy, really.
Yeah, and as you mentioned a moment ago, I mean, the pandemic is, we're not at the end. We may be close to the end, but there's still a bit to go. Jane Shoemaker, appreciate the time. Client Portfolio Manager and Global Equity Income at Janice Anderson. Really appreciate the time today.
And our poll question on LinkedIn and Twitter is around that. How's your portfolio doing? How are the dividends in your portfolio doing? I've got to say, mine are rocking. I got some commodity stocks in there, which of course significantly helps. And in fact, some BHP, which as Jane said, is the biggest dividend payer in the year. Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Noel Doyle from Tiger Brands on their Friday results, and he talked about pantry stocking, a phrase I hadn't really heard before. And, you know, if suddenly something is cheap and you go and buy a huge amount of it, 6 months, a year's worth, and stick it in your pantry. Suppose that depends. Do you have a pantry for a start? We asked if you do it, and two-thirds of you are like, absolutely heck, the heck yes. A third of you were, nope, you don't. I'm in that one-third, because maybe I don't have a pantry, and I hadn't really given it thought. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole Msechle, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.